medics, boots on the ground, deployed to the front lines to fight an invisible killer, COVID-19.
You know you're putting your life on the line.
That's what we do, man.
Some leaving a family waiting behind.
Give me sugar.
Those heroes in uniform healing a grateful city.
I think there's been really a heroic fight here.
Ever ready to answer the call of duty once more.
If there were a second wave, would you answer the call again?
It's just too hard for me to say no when your country needs you.
This is a special edition of Nightline, Combat Medics.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us. Tonight, you're about to meet military medics with a special streak of fearlessness. After serving tours of duty overseas, they found themselves running into battle here at home to the COVID-19 epicenter as the virus attacked New York City.
This is my view out the window of my hotel. It's the Empire State Building, getting ready for another day.
I have 27 years of service. I've been on 4 deployments, all of the medical missions.
Colonel Edward Ramirez never expected his next deployment to take him here, to New York City, in what became the front line of the nation's COVID-19 response.
Here we are at Lincoln Hospital.
It's not missiles or bombs, but the threat to life is just as much, if not more.
Just back from a months-long deployment in Kuwait, he kissed his family goodbye and boarded a cross-country flight, reporting for duty in the hard-hit Bronx.
What we're going to do is take this here, make a head cover.
The difference for us is when you're a physician, you're not on the very front of the war. Here, we're the infantry.
As cases skyrocket throughout the country, currently at least 38 states seeing an upward trend in cases, tonight we meet 4 heroes in uniform who answered the call from a city in crisis.
You know you're putting your life on the line.
That's what we do now.
Combat medics deployed to the epicenter of a new kind of war.
Nothing truly prepared us for what we came here for.
Now carrying the scars of a hard-fought battle, ready and willing to answer the call of duty yet again.
I think I was expecting that we could walk in and be able to fix everyone. We couldn't.
New York's first case of coronavirus affected a 39-year-old healthcare worker who had
just... While officials say the threat of coronavirus remains low, they have told Americans to get ready for the unknown.
Governor Cuomo warning that this is just the beginning and to expect dozens and dozens of more cases.
It's impossible to imagine how quickly this moved. Our hospitals could be overwhelmed in a matter of weeks.
The last 24 hours have been very, very sobering.
As the days ticked forward and the numbers climbed, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio made an urgent plea for help.
We are 2 weeks or 3 weeks away from running out of the supplies we need
the
most.
The city bracing for a mounting death toll than 1,200 deaths.
It's time now to declare a state of emergency in New York City.
This has been like war. You either had to find a way to survive or you would be overrun. And we were talking about people's lives.
And so how did you call for reinforcements? How do you literally call in the cavalry?
I said, we are running out of people. Can we turn to the military medical personnel on duty right now all over the country and bring them to the front, the epicenter, New York City? Can we do that?
Within weeks, the federal government, working with the state, would send thousands of troops to New York City.
The Army Corps of Engineers will build makeshift hospitals at 4 locations, including the Javits Center in Manhattan.
All of this to help alleviate the strain on medical workers and hospitals in the city treating coronavirus.
What was it like getting that deployment call?
Well, at the time when I got it, I was actually getting my hair done. My commander was like, I need you tomorrow.
At home in Texas, Major Angela Murphy sprang into action.
I was calling my parents. I was like, do you have my power of attorney? Like, if something happens, like, I want to make sure everything is squared away.
You actually thought you might not make it back.
Right. Because we were going to New York City. We had already heard reports of, like, healthcare workers dying.
This deployment, a world apart from her last mission at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan.
Were you more nervous about going to Afghanistan or going to
the hot zone of New York.
With ballroom, I got 6 months of prep time. Here, we had like 16 hours, and then we were there.
There are now, on average, a dozen coronavirus deaths every hour here in New York City.
More than 1,500 New Yorkers dying from the virus this weekend alone.
Mayor Bill de Blasio braced for what he called a huge surge in infections.
I've been in New York City before. The minute we got in there, there was no traffic. It was kind of eerie. It was kind of weird.
Major Murphy was deployed to the emergency department at Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx. This borough, home to the highest rates of COVID-19 deaths and hospitalizations in all of New York City.
When did the anxiety hit?
It hit the first day we were at Lincoln, just to see the amount of critically ill patients, rooms turned into ICU beds. It was like back to back to back.
Compared to Bagram, it sounds like it was a mass casualty event 24/7, 7 days a week.
Correct. Every moment of every shift, every day, for weeks. It's overwhelming. Sometimes you just want to duck off and, like, just cry. But, you know, you can't do that right now because you have other things, you know, to do. And so...
And so you soldier on.
Right.
Just a few miles away in Queens, Major Esther Cleggs Burns and Commander Thomas Hsu were dispatched to Elmhurst Hospital. Early on, one of the hardest hit areas in the city.
We're here to help relieve their staff who had been on it since, you know, the very beginning.
I love y'all. I really do.
When we got to the hospital the first day, we had a meeting with the administration. There was literally shouting in the room from excitement and joy about what we were bringing to the table.
Hi, Mama.
Hey, baby.
But for Major Cleggs Burns, the call to duty meant leaving behind two young daughters and her husband back home in Alabama.
My baby. She's one, so she doesn't even realize I'm gone.
Hey, girl.
My oldest, she's six, so she's having a little more difficult time.
Give me sugar.
I don't think military spouses get the credit that they deserve. My husband can't go to work because childcare is closed, school is closed. He's at home taking care of our girls. My husband, he is rocking it.
Say bye-bye. Elmhurst, I got my team in front of me.
With 28 years in the Navy under his belt, Commander Hsu has provided life-saving care around the globe, but the front line of COVID, he says, was entirely different.
If you are injured on the battlefield or have a combat casualty, and we could get you to medical care within that golden hour, you had about a 96% survival rate. That really is different here. When you're intubated, the mortality rates kind of skyrocket.
By the end of April,
you are, in fact, on the downside of the mountain.
The curve appeared to be flattening.
Overall hospitalization rate is down. The number of intubations.
The situation
is down.
In New York appeared to be stabilizing.
21 days of hell, but we're back to where we were.
The worst-hit hospitals were finally seeing fewer patients, but what remained, a grateful city. Those cheers for frontline workers still echoed each night at 7 p.m.
It's an incredible thing to hear how appreciative everybody is. Yesterday was my last day in the hospital at Lincoln. My clinic gave me an applause. Which was from the heart.
I'm so happy we're all headed home.
And as quickly as they arrived, it became time to leave. Before departing, Major Murphy and a few dozen others honored in a special ceremony at Lincoln Hospital.
You left your families. You left your job. We're a veteran hospital because of it.
The toll in the U.S. now more than 130,000. A list of names that has continued to grow since this May New York Times cover.
I bought the paper the day before I left, so I would have it.
And did you look through the names?
I wouldn't look through the names. I didn't want to see a name I recognized. One day I'll pick it up and maybe I'll read it, or maybe I'll just keep it how it is.
If there were a second wave, would you answer the call again?
Yes, I would. I couldn't not, you know what I mean? Like, it's just too hard for me to say no when your country needs you.
And for Colonel Ramirez, after so many deployments and so many months away in the past year, this return home is an opportunity to make up for lost time.
I missed my wife's birthday. I missed Thanksgiving. I missed Christmas. I missed New Year's. I missed all the important days of our life, so to speak.
When Colonel Ramirez finally returned home to California, there to greet him, his wife of 35 years.
We made it.
And like a truly dedicated husband, he managed to bring flowers all the way from New York.
This is what I wanted to be in the military for, to be of service to my country. I know that if I had not deployed, I would have regretted it.
Welcome home.
Thank you. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
The combat medics helped New York City battle back from the coronavirus. Tonight, one-on-one with the mayor, who called in the cavalry.
Talk about the sacrifice of the folks who are here. They answered the call of duty to serve their country in this capacity, away from their family members.
I talked to a lot of the military personnel as they arrived, and I tried to go and greet them a number of times when they got here. And I heard the stories of them having to leave their families to go to the American front, to go to the front in New York City and save lives. And I felt for them. And this is not wartime in the traditional sense, but it sure felt like wartime, because we were losing thousands of American lives, and we needed the very best in our country to come and save us. But the spirit of service from the men and women from the Army, from the Navy, from the Air Force who came here was unbelievable.
How does New York thank these military folks who came in from all over?
Oh, it's been a beautiful experience to see the gratitude directed to the men and women of our armed forces, and first and foremost by everyday New Yorkers who applaud them but really understand they came at the absolute crucial moment and helped to save us. But the gratitude from their fellow health workers is even deeper. And sometimes I would gather with them and ask them to say, and you'd hear them call the roll of states they came from, and it just is stirring. We had people come from Alaska, we had people come from California and Michigan and Kentucky and Florida, and just this feeling of one country actually working together.
Well, it's interesting you say that. There is a feeling of patriotism,
yes,
that comes from all of this in the midst of what I would argue is a country that's divided,
yeah,
in many ways.
Yes. It's obviously a country that's divided in terms of partisan politics and elections, but I don't think it's a country that's as divided in terms of the way we live and what we aspire to and what we feel about each other. I have seen Americans step up for Americans, and think of ourselves as all in one big boat together. That's the spirit I saw with these folks who came in from all over to save one corner of America in its hour of need.
The idea of combat medics obviously is a federal effort.
Yes.
But in other spheres, do you believe the federal government did enough to help big cities like New York?
No, not even close. Look, I thought the example of the combat medics coming to help us was so powerful, and it's an example of what we wished we had seen a lot more of. We asked the federal government to do a much bigger enlistment effort to get medical personnel from around the country, including civilian personnel, to come to New York or any place else hard hit. That never happened. We asked the federal government to use the Defense Production Act when we were running out of ventilators, when we were running out of PPEs. It was only used sparingly. The federal government never came close to addressing this crisis. And that's the legacy here. And even to this day, the only reason we have more testing is because we went and figured out how to do it ourselves, including even building the test kits in New York City, which had never been done before.
Public health officials in your administration were asking you to shut down schools, and that your critics say you didn't shut down schools fast enough.
We were dealing with the information every single day. I got different information every day, ever-changing, different views from different healthcare leaders, and I knew that I had 1.1 million kids and their future in my hands. And I'll tell you something, a lot of healthcare leaders were worried that if we shut schools, their workforce couldn't come to work and our hospitals would be threatened. So these were all the factors, but I made the decision to shut them down, and it was a painful one, but I made that decision.
And in retrospect, do you wish you had shut them down earlier?
I wish we had known so much more. I wish we had testing. I wish we had a lot of the facts we have today. But I'll tell you one thing. Once we shut them down, there were some clamoring to reopen, and I said there's no way in the world we're going to reopen these schools.
What's the plan to reopen in September?
The plan is to drive back this disease. Look, the way that people have confidence in going to school is if they see very few cases, they see more and more people being tested, they see a really believable approach to keeping each school safe. Now, I'd love a vaccine, but I don't think we're going to have a vaccine by September. But I do think you're going to see a lot of workplaces that have proven you can have a safe, smart atmosphere, and that's going to help us show people what it'll look like to have school come back as well.
Do you worry in a larger sense of New Yorkers abandoning the city post-COVID?
No, I'll tell you why. I think there's been really a heroic fight here, and I think a lot of people admire it. A lot of people are here, feel they were part of something historic fighting this disease back, and they're proud, and they're New Yorkers, and they're not going anywhere. I think some people left temporarily out of concern, out of fear. I don't blame them. But I think a lot of them will come back. And always, after every crisis, we've seen a whole new generation of people come into New York City. That was true after 9/11. That was true after Hurricane Sandy. The place just keeps regenerating.
And as we head into this Independence Day weekend, hats off to the members of the military answering the call whenever and wherever they're needed. We hope you all have a safe 4th of July weekend. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.